entitled The Messenger of the Covenant. Today we come to the very last of this series of studies in which we consider selected passages in the Old Testament which reveal the way of salvation in Jesus Christ to us. So we have been looking at selected passages from the Old Testament which show to us the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. There are many other such passages which we could have looked at, but for the moment we shall finish with today's study before we begin a new series of studies, God willing. So today's message is entitled The Messenger of the Covenant. Hari ini kita mempelajari mengenai pesuruh perjanjian. Now, the prophet Malachi preached to the Jews between the years 432 BC and the year 420 BC. In that period of time, 432 to 420 BC, which was roughly 400 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews had just returned from exile in Babylon. Nabi Malachi bernubuat di antara tahun 432 sebelum Masehi dan 420 sebelum Masehi. Di antara 432 dan 420 sebelum Yesus Kristus. Jadi kurang lebih 400 tahun sebelum kedatangan Yesus Kristus. Nabi ini bernubuat kepada orang Yahudi yang baru pulang, yang sudah pun pulang dari pembuangan di Babylon. Now what happened to them? What happened was that the Jews had been sinning against God for so long. They worshipped Jehovah, the true God, at the same time they worship the idols of the surrounding nations. God sent many prophets to them to warn them not to be unfaithful to God like that. If you worship the true God, then let it be the true God. Let it be the true God whom you worship. Don't worship any other idols. But the Jews refused to listen. Basically, a heart of unbelief and rebellion was in them and they refused to listen, with the result that God punished the Jews by raising up the Babylonians to come and attack them and took them away. Many of them were taken away to Babylon. Babylon was located in what is today's Iraq. Apa terjadi ialah orang-orang Yahudi pada masa itu menyembah berhala selain daripada menyembah Yehovah, Tuhan yang benar. Dan sungguh pun banyak nabi yang sudah diutus oleh Tuhan untuk memberi amaran kepada mereka supaya setia kepada Tuhan. Janganlah menyembah berhala. Tetapi masih lagi mereka berdegil. Dan oleh itu Tuhan pun membangunkan orang-orang Babylon untuk menentang orang Yahudi sehinggalah ya orang Yahudi ditumpas dan diambil ke Babylon. Mereka berada di sana selama 70 tahun sebagai hukuman Tuhan. So they were there 70 years as God's punishment upon them. So what happened was that the Medes and the Persians arose in power and took over from the Babylonians. And the first king of the Medo-Persian Empire was kind to the Jews and allowed them to return to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple there. Selepas Babylon jatuh, orang Mira dan Parsi pun menjadi kuat dan mereka mengambil alih kerajaan Babylon. Raja pertama mereka baik hati terhadap orang Yahudi dan membenarkan, mengizinkan mereka pulang ke Yerusalem untuk membangunkan kota Yerusalem semula dan juga membangunkan bait Tuhan yang sudah runtuh, sudah roboh. Now, Malachi preached to a people who no more wanted to worship idols. They were so frightened of worshipping idols. In fact, it has been observed that the Jews up to today are so fearful of committing idolatry anymore. You see. But there was a problem in their attitude. They still had the same heart of unbelief and rebellion in them, which showed in different ways. Orang Yahudi pada masa itu masih lagi kurang percaya dan berdegil. Sungguh pun mereka tidak benar, tidak berani lagi menyembah berhala. Now the way it shows itself is firstly by formalism, by being legalistic, keeping to external forms of religion without power in it. They were just trusting that the external things they did were good enough. They were being religious in the external way, doing external things. That is one way. The second way is to be religious in an open way, accepting anything. They were liberals. They did not believe in supernatural things, but they just want to be religious and be open. Then, the third way is to reject religion altogether and claim that there is no God. Live as we like. Live for this world. Now, these three expressions of unbelief and rebellion are actually seen today. Today, there are those who are like that. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was like that. And today, it is like that. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were legalistic became represented by the Pharisees. Those who were religious liberals became represented by the Sadducees, who did not believe in heaven and hell, did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, who did not believe in angels. Then there were those who were unbelieving. Now today, even in our midst, there are such people, and I will not be surprised if you think that this message is aimed at you. Now, as we consider these three groups of people, where do you belong? Are you a legalist who rely on the basic things you do, carrying your Bible, coming to church, maybe saying your prayers, doing the right things, but actually you are not converted? You are a legalist. You keep to formal religion. Or do you belong to this second category, where you are religious in a liberal way? Anything goes. Any belief is acceptable. See, everyone must be free to accept what they want. See? Now there are this group of people. Then there are those who are not bothered about religion, who just live for this world. See? Now, the message today is directed to you, if you belong to any of these categories. But the message is also to those who really want to know the true way of salvation, the way to be accepted by God, the truly spiritual life. So, this message is directed to believers, those who are seeking to know the way of salvation, who want true spirituality, and those who are actually unconverted, who are merely formal, or who are religious liberals, or who are atheists. Okay. Now this passage was preached by Malachi to awaken the Jews to the realization that the hope for the nation, the hope for the people, depended on God's promise of a Savior who was going to come. And we know that that Savior is Jesus Christ. The only hope for you is in Jesus Christ. So Malachi in this passage shows to us that there is going to come a messenger who will in turn point out the coming of another messenger who is greater than the first. The messenger of the covenant will be greater than the messenger who comes to point him out. So today's passage concerns two persons. First, a messenger who will point to another messenger. Jadi, hari ini kita akan mempelajari mengenai dua pesuruh Tuhan. Seorang pesuruh akan datang dan dia akan menunjukkan, menumpukan perhatian kita pada seorang lagi pesuruh Tuhan. Sebenarnya nama Maliaki itu ialah pesuruh dan dia menjadi pesuruh Tuhan. Tetapi beritanya mengenai dua orang pesuruh. Actually, the name Malachi is my messenger. Malachi was a messenger of God, but his message concerns two other messengers who was going to come in the future. So we want to look first of all at the identity of these two messengers. Then we want to look at the first messenger and consider the two tasks of this first messenger. Then we look at the second messenger and look at the two tasks of the last messenger. Kita akan mempelajari mengenai siapa dia kedua orang pesuruh ini. Dan kemudian kita akan mempelajari dua tugas pesuruh pertama. Dan akhir sekali kita akan mempelajari mengenai dua tugas pesuruh yang terakhir itu. So first of all, let us consider the identity of these two messengers. In verse 1, we are told that there will be a messenger who comes, who will prepare the way for another messenger, the messenger of the covenant. Who is this messenger of the covenant? We consider the second person first. Now, he is the one all the prophets have been talking about. And the New Testament shows to us that this messenger of the covenant is that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, all the Old Testament way of offering up animal sacrifices pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ, who would die as the sacrifice for our sins. So the prophets pointed to him. All the animal sacrifices pointed to him. Siapa dia pesuruh perjanjian yang akan datang? Dia ialah Al-Masih. Dia ialah juru selamat yang sudah dijanjikan oleh nabi-nabi dalam perjanjian lama. Dan dalam perjanjian lama juga ada korban binatang. Korban binatang itu menunjukkan suatu hari nanti akan datang seorang yang sempurna yang akan menjadi korban. Dia akan mati atas salib untuk orang-orang berdosa. Sejauh itu kita sudah menerima kesemua ini. Now, we who know the Bible, who know a little bit of the Bible, have accepted this. The prophets pointed to Christ, the coming Savior. The animal sacrifices pointed to Christ, who is a perfect sacrifice for our sins. But remember, this same person is also the messenger of the covenant that God is going to make with his people. What is a covenant? A covenant is a solemn agreement between two or more parties. In this case, the parties concerned are God and then his chosen people. The primary party is God. He sets the terms and conditions of the covenant, of the agreement. He wants us to obey him and come back to him by the way he has provided for us. And we have the duty of obeying him. So there are these two parties involved, God and his chosen people. God sets the condition we have to follow, and he will be our God. We become his people. Apa dia perjanjian yang sedang kita bicara di sini? Perjanjian itu mengenai Tuhan dan orang pilihannya. Tuhan mengikat perjanjian bersama dengan orang yang dipilihnya. Tuhan ingin menyelamatkan mereka melalui jalan yang sudah disediakannya, dan dia meletakkan segala-gala syarat dan kondisi untuk kita. Kita terkena mematuhi segala syarat-syarat ini supaya kita menjadi orang-orang miliknya dan dia menjadi Tuhan kita. Now, what happened is this. When Jesus Christ came, he lived a perfectly righteous life and then he died on the cross. Then he was buried and on the third day he rose up and went to heaven. Now, what do you understand by this event? The Bible explains to us why he came and why all these things happened. And in Hebrews chapter 8, we read these words. In Hebrews chapter 8, mengapakah Yesus Kristus datang? Mengapakah dia mati di atas salib? Ibrani pasal ke-8 menyatakan sedemikian. Ayat pertama dan kedua. Ibrani 8, 1 dan 2. In Hebrews 8, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. So there is this person who is coming to his tabernacle or his temple. Okay? Then in verse 6 we are told, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant which was established on better promises. Then the remainder of the chapter goes to explain that this covenant, it is between God and his chosen people. So Jesus Christ is the mediator of this covenant. Yesus Kristus ialah pengantar di antara Tuhan dengan orang-orang pilihannya. Dia pengantar perjanjian Tuhan. Then you note in chapter 13 of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 20, we are told these words. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, to do his will. You see, Jesus Christ is described as the great shepherd of the sheep, and he saves us by the blood of the everlasting covenant. So you see now that it is very clear that the Savior promised in the Old Testament, whom the prophets were talking about, and the sacrifice pointed to by all the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, that person is actually the mediator of the covenant between God and his people. So when we come back to Malachi chapter 3, we must understand that the messenger of the covenant, the one sent to deal with the covenant between God and his people, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Kita seharusnya yakin bahawa Yesus Kristus ialah pengantar di antara Tuhan dengan orang-orang miliknya. Dia ialah pesuruh perjanjian yang sudah dijanjikan, sudah dinubuat dalam Maliaki pasal ketiga ini. Okay? Then what about the messenger who will prepare the way for the messenger of the covenant? Those who know a little bit of the Bible already guess that person is John the Baptist. And you are right. The Bible shows to us that it is John the Baptist. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, we are told in verse 6, kita tahu orang itu ialah Yohanes Pembaptis. Yohanes Pembaptis ialah pesuruh yang akan menumpukan perhatian kita pada pesuruh perjanjian, yaitu Yesus Kristus. Dalam Yohanes pasal pertama ayat ke-6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So John the Baptist said, was not that light. He came to bear witness, to point us to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Yeah. Then in Matthew chapter 11, jadi Yohanes Pembaptis ialah pesuruh yang menunjukkan kepada kita Yesus Kristus, cahaya dunia. Dalam Matius pasal ke-11 ayat ke-10, in Matthew chapter 11 verse 10, we are told, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." Now those words are actually quoted from the passage we are studying, Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. And it is applied to John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus Christ says, John the Baptist is that messenger who was promised by Malachi. So, are you now convinced? Now, John the Baptist was that messenger who was promised by Malachi, who will come to point us to Jesus Christ, who is the messenger of the covenant. That is why John was not that light. He pointed to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. John came as a herald to prepare the way for the one who is coming, who is greater than him. So the identity of the two messengers are now clear to us. Kita sekarang sudah kenal pasti siapakah dia dua orang pesuruh itu. Pertama ialah Yohanes Pembaptis. Dan Yohanes Pembaptis datang ke dunia ini untuk menunjukkan kepada kita bahwa Yesus Kristuslah pesuruh perjanjian Tuhan. Dialah cahaya dunia ini. Jadi ada dua pesuruh. Satu ialah Yohanes Pembaptis dan yang kedua ialah Yesus Kristus, pesuruh perjanjian Tuhan. Sekarang kita sudah yakin dua orang pesuruh ini ialah Yohanes Pembaptis dan Yesus Kristus. Now in the second part, we want to focus on John the Baptist, the first messenger. What are the two things he came to us to accomplish? What did he come to do? The two things he came to do. Now, firstly, he came to show to us the greatness of Jesus Christ. He came to reveal to us the majesty of Jesus Christ. Now, you must understand, in the old days, when the king comes to visit one of the towns in his country, he will send a person ahead of him to make the way clear for him. Now that is called a herald. The herald will come to announce the coming of the great king. And he will come to the city and call to the people, "Make way, make way, make way for the king." You see? And imagine if there are many people crowded there doing their shopping. You see? When they hear the herald say, make way for the king," they quickly stood and move aside to make a path between them. They will stop all that they are doing and they look for the coming king. Why? The reason is because he is the greatest man in that country. The whole of that country belongs to him. He is the powerful king. That is why before he came, his coming was announced by a herald. The herald pointed to someone greater than himself. Okay? So when John the Baptist came, he prepared the way for someone greater than himself. And that person is none other than the Son of God, the creator of the universe. Jadi, pada zaman lampau, sebelum seorang raja tiba di sesuatu kota, seorang pesuruh akan dihantar untuk menyediakan jalan, untuk membuka jalan baginya. Pesuruh itu menunjukkan bahawa orang yang akan datang kemudiannya lebih besar darinya. Begitu juga Yohanes Pembaptis. kedatangannya ke dalam dunia ini ialah untuk menyediakan jalan supaya kita tahu orang yang akan datang kemudiannya itu lebih besar, lebih berkuasa daripadanya. Jadi Yohanes Pembaptis, tugas pertamanya ialah untuk menunjukkan kebesaran Yesus Kristus. So the greatness of Jesus Christ was shown by the coming of John the Baptist. Don't ever think that Jesus Christ is just an ordinary person. Don't ever think that he is only a good religious teacher. Jesus Christ is actually the Son of God. He is actually the creator of the universe. John the Baptist prepared the way by showing the greatness of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, the coming of John the Baptist was an act of mercy on God's part. God was showing his mercy to us, his people. Now you must try and understand. Back to the picture of the old days when the king came to visit that city. Now he sent a herald, a messenger ahead of him to make the way ready. Okay? Now all the people are the king's subject. They all agree and submit to that king that he is their master over that land. See? And they are subjected to him. They respect him. They make way for him. But let us imagine there is this man who refused to acknowledge the king. Let us say he comes to buy, let us say, roast chicken. There is this stall selling roast chicken. You say, how much is that roast chicken? See? That man heard the herald saying, make way for the king. He quickly stopped. Shh, shh, shh. Yeah, pointing to the direction of the king coming. But this man banged the stall and say, I ask you, how much is this chicken? And that man dare not say anything. I'll tell you later. You see? But this man gets very angry and began to shout. You see? And imagine the king arrives. You see? And this man is still shouting away. The king just observes him. You see? The man turns around and does not bother. You see? And from the way he looks away, from the sneer on his face, you can see that this man's heart is not submitted to the king. He's a rebellious creature. You see? Now what do you expect the king will do? You see? If you write the story for children like that, you say, the king got very angry. So he orders for his soldier to take his sword, chop off his head. That's maybe too strong. Maybe you say, tell the soldiers to catch him and put him in prison. Now, however you put it, you know that that rebellious man deserves to be punished because he's not submitted to his king and he's rebellious and he's challenging the king. Okay? Now, you get the idea. Jadi kalau pada masa lampau, seseorang warga negara itu tidak tunduk kepada rajanya, orang itu seharusnya dihukum oleh rajanya. Jadi tugas pesuruh ialah untuk kebaikan kita. Dia menyediakan hati kita supaya kita terima raja yang akan datang. Kita akan bersedia dan menunjukkan bahwa kita tunduk kepadanya. Kita menganggapnya sebagai tuan kepada kita. Itu adalah kebaikan, suatu kebaikan untuk kita. Kalau tidak, kita tak bersedia. Tuh, raja itu sampai dan kita masih lagi tak terimanya. Kita sudah tentu dihukum olehnya. So you see now that the coming of John the Baptist was an act of mercy on God's part towards people like us. Now if God did not send someone to prepare us, we might claim that, oh, we didn't know. Oh, we are not ready. And when the Lord Jesus Christ arrives, we still go on behaving as though he is an ordinary person. But actually, it is to prepare us to receive Jesus Christ. He came as the Savior of the world. He came to do us good. And he came to his own. But what happened? His own did not receive him. And what do you expect? If his own people do not receive him, these people just deserve to be punished by him. And that is why the Jews as a nation has been rejected by God. The Jews are no more the special people of God. Don't ever get that wrong idea. Many churches are still teaching this, that the Jews in Jerusalem are special, that Jesus Christ will come and own his people and rule from there. That is not the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is that only in the Old Testament time, the Jews were the special people of God. God made use of them to preserve pure worship, to give them the Word of God. And the Word of God is meant for all the people in the world, but they refuse to obey the Word and abuse their privileges. So God has rejected them. The axe was laid at the tree. And now the gospel goes to all nations in the world, so that whoever turn from their sin to trust in Christ, they become the citizen of God's kingdom. They become God's people. So who are the true Jews, the true descendants of Abraham? The Christians who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who constitute the true Israel of God? The church, made up of all true believers. So don't ever get the wrong idea that the nation of Israel today is still the special people of God. No. Now how does this come about? It came about because John the Baptist came to declare and prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jadi tugas kedua Yohanes Pembaptis ialah supaya menyediakan hati kita untuk menerima Yesus Kristus sebagai juru selamat kita. Itu adalah belas kasihan Tuhan kepada kita. Kalaulah kita tak disediakan, kita mungkin tak terima Yesus Kristus. Mungkin kita tak mengenali siapa dia. Tetapi dia sudah datang. Dia datang untuk menyediakan hati kita supaya terima Yesus Kristus. Sekiranya kita masih lagi tidak menerimanya, sudah tentu kita dihukum oleh Tuhan. So we now know that there are these two messengers. Then the first messenger came to perform these two tasks of showing forth the greatness of Jesus Christ and showing forth the mercy of God to prepare us to receive the coming Savior. Now, in the last part, we must focus on the two tasks of the messenger of the covenant, the two tasks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, it is just one task, but we want to look at it from two angles. Now, firstly, Jesus Christ came to save for himself a people. Sekarang kita bincang pula mengenai dua tugas Yesus Kristus, Juru Selamat dunia ini. Pertama, dia datang untuk menyelamatkan orang-orang berdosa. Now, the Jews were looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. But many of them had the wrong idea of the Savior who was going to come. They thought that he was going to be a military leader who would lead them to fight against the enemies. But they were badly mistaken. Nevertheless, in their heart, they were expecting the coming of that promised Messiah. Okay? So verse 1 tells us that they were expecting, looking forward, desiring the coming of that Savior. But for the wrong reason. Ada banyak orang Yahudi pada masa itu inginkan kedatangan Al-Masih, Juru Selamat mereka. Tetapi mereka ada tanggapan yang salah mengenai Al-Masih itu. Mereka memikirkannya, dia itu seorang pahlawan yang akan membimbing mereka untuk melawan musuh-musuh mereka. Bagaimanapun, mereka ada keinginan untuk apa kedatangan itu Juru Selamat itu. Then there are others who truly look for the salvation of their souls. They want the Savior to come. They know that God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a kingdom of this world. But still, they have the idea that when the Savior comes, it will all be so straightforward and easy for them. You see? And everything will be well, and they will be happy. You see? Ada juga segolongan orang yang mengenali bahawa kerajaan Tuhan itu bukan dalam dunia ini, tetapi kerajaan Tuhan ialah kerajaan secara rohani. Mereka inginkan kedatangan Al-Masih itu, tetapi dengan tanggapan yang salah juga. Mereka memikirkan bahawa apabila Juru Selamat itu tiba, kesemuanya dengan senang saja akan menjadi baik. Mereka akan terhibur, senang saja begitu. Hati mereka akan rasa senang-senang saja. Okay. Now, Verse 2 tells us, but who can endure the day of his coming? It warns us that with the coming of Christ, something tragic, something terrible is going to happen. And what is going to happen? Jesus Christ has to deal with our sins in order to save us. Violence will occur. Jesus Christ was actually violently nailed to the cross of Calvary in order to bring about the cleansing of our sins. And two pictures are given of what he has to undergo in order to save us from our sins. The first is the picture of a refiner, a person who purifies gold or silver. And the second picture is that of a woman washing. Jadi apabila juru selamat Yesus Kristus sampai, dia akan mati dengan cara yang sungguh dahsyat untuk menyelamatkan kita. Bukan senang-senang saja dia menyelamatkan kita. Dua gambaran diberikan kepada kita. Pertama, gambaran seorang yang sedang apa membersihkan itu logam seperti emas atau apa perak. So the picture of the pure refiner of gold. What happens is that he puts the ore into the mold. And you know that ore is dug from the ground. Let us say gold is dug from the ground. Gold is mixed with dirt. There's some dirt, the mud there, some rotten wood all stuck together. And that gold will be put into the mold and pushed into the furnace. And the furnace will be heated to the right temperature. And then the ore will melt. And when the ore melts, the dirt which is lighter will float at the top. And it will have to be scraped away. The dirt will have to be scraped away. And as you repeat the process with time, you have gold that is quite pure. Okay? And that is what the refiner would do. Now imagine that you are that lump of gold ore. Before you become pure, you have to be heated up to white heat until you melt. And then the dirt has to be removed, you see. Now that is never a pleasant thing to undergo. But all this is done for you by Jesus Christ. Christ went through the fire of suffering in order that our sins may be purged. Okay? Then there is, pertama, orang yang membersihkan logam ini. Dia memasukkan apa logam itu ke dalam berkas dan dibakar sampai panas, sampai lebur. Bila logam itu lebur, emas itu lebur, kotorannya akan timbul kerana kotoran itu lebih ringan. Dan kotoran itu seharusnya dikikis dan dibuang. Dan proses ini dilakukan lagi sehinggalah emas itu menjadi tulen. Itu bukan suatu proses yang senang. Itu menyebabkan kita dibakar dahulu. Yesus Kristus sudah mati atas salib untuk melakukan kesemuanya untuk kita. Supaya kita jadi bersih dari dosa kita. Okay. Now the second picture is of that of a woman who boils the clothes, dirty clothes. He boils in water the clothes. And then he takes out the clothes one by one and sprinkle the soap powder over it. And then he scrubs. And then the soap powder will lift all the dirt out of the boiled clothes and they are flushed away. In that way, the clothes become clean, becomes white. Okay. Now, that is again not a simple process. Along the way, the clothes have to be boiled. Then soap has to be used to cleanse the clothes so that it is clean. Now again, the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. He is like the clothes that is boiled and is scrubbed, you see. And he has done all that is necessary to remove the dirt from us. Okay? Now, Christ has accomplished it all for us. But in order to benefit from the work of Christ, a person has to come to him. He has to be shaken to the core of his being concerning his own sin. He has to come and trust in Christ that all that Christ has done on the cross may become yours. Okay? Now you cannot come to Christ just smiling away, playing your music, entering heaven. No! You have to let go of all things that hinder you, all sins, and it can be very painful. It may be that you love certain people or certain things or certain recreation in this world too much, which are a hindrance, which is a hindrance to your spiritual life. Now, in order to follow Jesus Christ, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to go through that narrow gate. You have just barely to squeeze through. You cannot carry anything with you. Jadi, gambaran kedua mengenai seorang perempuan yang membasuh kainnya. Dia terkena memasak kain itu dalam air yang panas. Kemudian kain itu satu-satu dikeluarkan dan sabun ditaburkan, serbuk sabun ditaburkan dan dia pun diberus sehingga bersih. Yesus Kristus sudah melakukan kesemua ini. Tetapi supaya kita menikmati keselamatan yang sudah dibeli oleh Yesus Kristus untuk kita, kita terkena juga digoncang, dibersihkan. Kita terkena percaya kepadanya. Bila kita ingin percaya kepadanya, kita diberitahu bahwa dosa-dosa kita itu perlu ditinggalkan. Kita tak boleh, kita tidak dapat memasuki syurga dengan bersama-sama dengan dosa-dosa kita sekali. Now, imagine you are going into the aeroplane. You are flying by MAS, Malaysian Airlines System, or by AirAsia. You know there is a limit to how much you can carry. And of course, sometimes they bend the rules a little bit and you can carry a bit more. But in certain airlines, it is very rigid. They fix that rule and you must not exceed that rule. Now, recently, we went to the post office and we wanted to send some parcels overseas. You see? And they kept the rule very rigidly. 20 kilograms means 20 kilograms. You exceed just by a few kilograms, you have to bring the whole package home and repack. You must not exceed the 20 grams. The 20 gram is the cutoff point. See? So it's like going into the aeroplane. If 25 kilograms is the cutoff point, then it is 25 kilograms. Okay? Now you go into heaven by just trusting in Christ, not trusting in yourself. You give yourself to Christ. You don't carry along with you some other things or some other person you love. Okay? Now, this is what is required of you. Supaya kamu dapat memasuki syurga. Kamu terkena percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Bukannya percaya kepada diri kamu sendiri. Kamu terkena mengikuti Yesus Kristus dengan sepenuh hati. Kamu tak boleh membawa seseorang lain yang kamu cinta atau sesuatu perkara benda yang kamu cinta. Tak boleh. Kamu terkena percaya kepada Yesus Kristus saja. You see? That is what is required. It is only in Christ and in Christ alone. Like that. You trust in Him. You give yourself to Him. And it is in that way alone that your worship of God is acceptable. It is only through the sacrifice of Christ that your worship is acceptable to God. Verse 4. See, in the old days it was shown like that. You can approach God and be accepted by Him only by trusting in that sacrifice that you offer. The acceptable sacrifice. But the Jews were not doing that. They were bringing animals that was not perfect. And also their attitude, their hearts were not right. Their life was not right before God. So they were not accepted by God. So although we know that so much has been done by Jesus Christ, He has gone through so much for us to save us, in order to benefit from Christ's death, in order that we may be saved, you must trust in Christ and Him alone, not in yourself, not in your ability. You must give yourself wholly to Christ. You cannot give your heart to somebody else or bring along some other things that you love. You really have to just give yourself to Christ. See? Then only then will your worship be acceptable to God. Verse 4. you need to listen very carefully. Perhaps your coming to church is not acceptable to God. Perhaps all this while your prayers has not been accepted by God. All the show of religion has not been accepted by God. Why? You are not born again. You are not a true Christian. You do not truly trust in Jesus Christ. You do not give your heart fully to Jesus Christ. You still love the world too much. You think you can have Christ and salvation, and along the way you bring along your teddy bear. Cannot. You cannot squeeze through that immigration gate with your teddy bear. Cannot. You have to let go. You have to let go of all your sins, all the things that you love too much in this world. You have to give of yourself wholly to Christ, trusting in Him alone. Kamu hanya dapat diselamatkan melalui kepercayaan yang seluruh terhadap Yesus Kristus. Tak boleh membawa perkara-perkara lain yang kamu sukai dalam dunia ini. Okay? So that is the first thing accomplished by Jesus Christ, which is so drastic upon Himself, and in a sense is drastic upon us if we want to be saved. And second thing that Jesus Christ comes to do is to warn us that if we continue to resist Him and putting on such a show of religion instead of coming to Him in the way that He wants, you know what will happen? On the last day, it will be shown that you are no different from the pagans around us. You call yourself a Christian, don't you? You claim that you are a Christian all this while. But Jesus Christ is going to disown you. Why? Because you are like that prostitute out in one of these red light districts. You can commit adultery. You slander people, you know, out of spite in your heart and out of personal gain, you know. You see? You cheated your employee, you know. You see? And you have been unkind to the aliens, you know, the lonely people, you know, the deprived people in this world. You are no different from the pagans around you. See? Says Elia. Yes. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23? On the last day, many, not some, many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? But the Lord is going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, I never knew you, it means that He had never loved you. You were never His. You were never a true Christian. Jadi kita terkena berhati-hati. Yang ada orang pikir mereka ini terselamat. Mereka senang. Mereka ini Christian. Tetapi dari segi pandangan Tuhan, kamu belum lagi benar-benar Christian. Belum lagi dilahirkan semula. Kamu dianggap seperti orang-orang fakir di dalam dunia ini. Okay? And that is told us in verse 5. And that is to warn us that there is still time for you to turn. Because Christ is going to come again and judge. If He is really that great God, the great King, whom John the Baptist announced who was coming, then He certainly will have to deal with that arrogant, rebellious, stubborn sinner. True? See? You say, wait a moment. Somehow, something doesn't sound quite right. You say, all this will happen when Jesus Christ came to this world. How come we are still waiting for Him to judge us? Now, you must understand, when the prophets talk about the coming of Christ, they did not mean that Christ will do all these things in just one day with His coming. The prophets were actually talking about the new age brought about by Jesus Christ, in which he would die for our sins, in which the gospel will be proclaimed so that people will be saved, in which sinners will be warned concerning their sins, and then one day he will return again to judge the world. It is this period of time and all that is going to happen that was prophesied by the prophets of old. And that you must understand. Now once you understand that, it becomes clear to you, now it makes sense. Christ came to do these two things. He came to call sinners to repentance so that they may be saved. And he warns those who are adamant, if you still want to continue in your way, you want to save according to your own terms, you do not want to really submit yourself to him, then you are in terrible danger of being judged by the Lord on the last day. Jadi Yesus Kristus membuat dua perkara ini. Pertama, dia datang supaya menyelamatkan orang-orang berdosa yang bertobat, percaya kepadanya. Dan kedua, dia memberi amaran kepada mereka yang berdegil dan tidak ingin tunduk kepadanya. Mereka kemudiannya akan dihukum dengan seberat-beratnya. Itu yang akan dilakukan oleh Yesus Kristus. So, what have we done? We have identified the two messengers. We have looked at the two tasks accomplished by the coming of John the Baptist. And now we have looked at the two tasks performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must quickly draw to a close. Now, you must understand that the last verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Now God is an unchangeable God. Tuhan itu tak bertukar-tukar dalam peribadinya, dalam rancangannya, dan dalam perjanjiannya. God does not change in his person, in his essence, in his character. He's always the same. The same God, all-powerful, eternal, holy, his love, his forgiving, he's the same. See? And he's unchanging in his decree or his plan. What he has planned will definitely take place. Nobody can alter that. No accidents, no chance can alter that. God has determined all things. And thirdly, God's covenant will never change. When he has chosen a certain people and put his love upon them, he will always love them. That is why no one of his people can be snatched out of his hand. Nobody can take us away from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nobody can alter that because it has been determined by God. His covenant is fixed. He will love his people. He has sent his son to save them. And since Christ has come to die for them, they will be saved. Okay? And it is in that way, because God is unchanging, in that way, that those who are being saved will be saved. And those who are only in name Christians, they will not be saved. See now? So be sure of this. If you are truly Christian, you really have to trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. His death on the cross alone makes you clean. See? It requires that you give up all and follow him. You cannot cling on to your dear love in this world and yet want Jesus Christ. Christ must be your only Savior. That is the only way to be saved. And you know there are many, even in this congregation here, who are not really saved. They belong to those who are not saved. You know? You may be those who just put on a show of religion, in name Christian. When you went to school, the teacher asked you to fill a form. What is your religion? You put on Christian. When you go and apply for your new IC, what is your religion? Christian. And you make such a big hoo-ha in the newspaper. Hey, my religion is Christian. Why they put Buddha, Islam, or what? What difference is there if you are not converted? What difference is there? You see? You are not converted. You are only a legalistic formalist. You carry on the show of religion. See? Go to church once in a while.
Say your prayer. When you're convicted of your sin, when you make a mess of your life, then you feel so sorry. But when things are well, you forget about God. Now what sort of Christian are you? You're not saved. You're not saved at all. You're not born again. The sign of a born again person is not upon you. We can tell that you are not the genuine note. You can buy things from the shop. You use a 50 ringgit note. They check under the light. You know, this is a fake note. But often you don't have to put under the light. You look carefully. You feel. You look at. Somehow I'm uncomfortable with this note. You see? Somehow the texture, the crispness, the color, makes you worried. And this is what happens to us. We are worried about you, my friend. You call yourself a Christian, but you're not born again. See? All these years you carry out the motion of being a Christian, but you are not born again. There are those who are liberal. No, each person has their own religion. I profess to be Christian. We must accept everyone. You see? But you are not saved. There are others who say, we live for this world. When we die, it's over. No more. You're an atheist. But you will be under God's judgment as well. Okay? Now, remember, we are coming to the end of this series of studies. Another series has come to an end. And some of you have come before. And perhaps you have come often. So you are hearing the message again, and again, and again, and again. And yet there is no change in you. Friends, I fear for you. I really fear for you. I fear that if you do not respond to the call of God, you are going to be in deep trouble indeed. You think the troubles you face in this world is bad? Wait till you see the face of the Son of God who comes in judgment. Why don't you turn from your sin? Why don't you trust in Jesus Christ so that you may be accepted by God? So that you will be treated as a child of God. So that you will receive all the spiritual blessings that are in Jesus Christ. Why don't you just turn today from your sinful life and follow after Jesus Christ? The boys and girls are listening. Who knows, by tonight, there will be one here and one there who has professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I really hope that will happen. And when that happens, what do we adults have to say? Don't you feel ashamed of yourself? Don't you feel stricken in your conscience that all this while you have not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? And all this while you are hoping good will come to your children when you yourself are not saved. Friends, make this day the day of your salvation. In your heart, submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Turn to Jesus Christ that you may have peace with God. We close with a hymn. Let us turn to hymn 137.